He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. Well, as Father said, here we are today celebrating the Feast of the Holy Family on this first Sunday after Christmas. The deacon, wasn't yesterday just Christmas? Shortest liturgy you'll ever experience. Now, from the richness of today's readings about love and family and faith, I'd like to use these last lines from the gospel that I started with to show how our faith is as much caught in our hearts as much as it might be taught to us in our minds. So I'm calling this the importance of learning by heart. Question, are these familiar sounds in your house? Hey Siri, hey Google, Alexa, when? That's news to you, yeah, right? We've all got that source of knowledge, right? But you ever feel like maybe you really don't know something until you know it by heart? The writer George Steiner was 11 years old when he escaped the Nazi invasion of France in 1940. And he later witnessed the Soviet purge of their culture of Russian literature and poetry. He wrote this: "The most important tribute any human being can pay to something he or she really loves is to learn it by heart, not by brain, by heart. What you know by heart, the world cannot touch. No one can take it from you." One day in the fourth grade, Todd Werner, a doctor and Catholic blogger, was given the assignment by his teacher to memorize Robert Frost's immortal winter poem, "Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening." Now, the poem was only four stanzas, 16 short lines, but to 10-year-old Todd, it might as well have been Homer's Iliad. A few weeks hence, each one of the fourth graders were going to have to stand at their desk alone and recite the poem without error. Probably like any 10-year-old, he procrastinated as long as he could, and he could avoid it no longer. So night after painful night, he would stand before his dad in his recliner and stumble through the poem. This poem about some guy riding on his carriage in the woods, stopping, and then riding on. Oh yeah, it was snowing and there was a horse shaking some bells. Oh, good grief. And so the appointed day came. One by one, his classmates bobbed up and down and flawlessly recited Frost's poem. As his time drew nearer, he could feel the nausea rising. Sweat was running down his neck and his hands were starting to shake and feel clammy. When I stood, what I remember is some words spilled from my mouth, and then I heavily sat down. But in its wake, there was no condemnation, no corrective saying that I had failed. At that moment, victorious as the weight of weeks was lifted from my shoulders, I swore to myself I will never read Robert Frost again. After all, what was the point? How would this poem ever help me out in life? During his third year of internal medicine residency, Todd was having a particularly difficult time covering the ER one night. He had just finished admitting two very, very sick patients. And with five more to go, he sat heavily down at the nurse's station, waiting for the urologist to call back with some lab results. He had four pagers hooked on his scrubs, and every one of them was chirping incessantly, wanting him to do something. He'd already missed dinner, and it was only 2 a.m, and he had 5 hours more to go. And that's when it happened. Sitting there closed-eyed at the nurse's station, without warning and completely uninvited, Robert Frost's Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening flooded into his mind. Here he was amidst the patients groaning, bells ringing, and the staff scurrying about this way and that. But for a few moments, he was with that man on a late night ride, pausing and drinking in the lovely, dark, and deep woods. The lone traveler, he realized, wasn't thinking about the road behind, nor was he worrying about the miles he had to go before he sleeps. The solitary man in the poem simply decided to be still, to be present. And as he did, he felt the easy wind and heard the quiet snow. He was at peace. It was a fleeting moment, but it was a grace in the midst of the chaos of that night. And at long last, Todd understood what the poem meant. He finally realized why his fourth grade teacher had asked him to memorize it. Now, you've heard me use a ship on the ocean as a metaphor in the past for facing the challenges in our lives. Again, with George Steiner, as he was preparing to leave France in 1940, he recalled his father always stressing to have your bags packed. But to his father, it was more than just physical possessions. It also meant preserve the stories and the memories, the beliefs and the morals that make up who you are. Those will collectively serve as your ballast when the seas turn stormy. Does it ever seem to you that more and more learning seems focused on the what and the how of the world and its physical possessions, while passing right by the why? The why of the stories and memories, of the beliefs and the morals that do make up the essence of who we are. It seems to have de-emphasized the art of remembering with our hearts, not necessarily our heads. It fills the mind, but it leaves the heart with very little of inner balance, ballast for our journey. Oh, sure, when all is well and you're beautiful, young, and maybe earning a lot, then you can sail very lightly before any wind. But when the seas of life start getting rough, a health issue, loneliness, the most natural of things. What you carry inside your heart, the world can't take away from you. So that when the wind starts blowing very hard, you have ballast. One of the three blessings that the priest or deacon gives at the end of the sacrament of baptism is for fathers. God is the giver of all life, human and divine. May he bless the father of this child. With his wife, they will be the first teachers of their child in the ways of faith. May they be also the best of teachers, bearing witness to the faith by what they say and do. In Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Like Mary, his mother, who kept all these things in her heart, by sharing the faith we know by heart, we fill up our families with the why and leave them not empty, but filled with the ballast to weather life's storms. The woods are lovely, dark, and deep. But I have promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep. And miles to go before I sleep.